Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We
Good
welcome you to the FY26 and H2 FY26 earnings conference call of Guru Nanak Agriculture India Limited. On behalf of Samvad Partners, the IR advisors, we thank you all for taking the time to join us today. From the management, we are joined by Mr. Kamaljeet Singh Kalsi, Non-Executive Director. We'll begin with an overview of company's performance during H2 FY26, and thereafter we will open the floor for a Q&A session. I would now like to hand over this call to Mr. Kamaljeet Singh Kalsi. Over to you, sir.
Hello everyone. So it's my privilege to welcome you all to the annual presentation for Guru Nanak Agriculture India Limited for FY26. And this year was a good financial year for us. Our new product, we saw really good success in the performance and the customer feedbacks for our latest products. And we are expanding in our combine harvesters market. And the construction that we were doing and the infrastructure that we are building, we are almost very close to finishing it up. We have started the advanced production as well. And hopefully, before September, we will definitely complete all the infrastructure and all the CapEx that we have decided to do. And then only we will be able to start expanding with the with our stock and start expanding with the markets very quickly. Yeah, so last year we definitely improved our margins to approximately 24% EBITDA, and that was basically due to the improved product mix and more contribution of our combine harvesters, as we have better margins in that product. And yeah, so our debt to equity ratio has also improved due to the IPO fund, and we are very less dependent on debt for our inventory and for stocking as well. Yeah, so the demand that is coming for our future aspects, so we are growing into Bengal, Assam, and to the northeastern states as well. And this year, you will see that we are going to expand in those markets really well. Those will be the nearest, biggest markets that we are going to do this year. And we are also doing some government subsidy schemes, and we are talking with some government agencies across Maharashtra and MP for including our harvesters to a special kind of subsidy because of a Make in India label that we have. And we are in talks with that. And if that happens, then we can expand really nicely in those areas as well. Yeah, so that was the basic overview of our FY26. And I will hand over the call to Mr. Puneet, sir.
Yeah, participants can raise their hands to ask questions to the management. First question we have from Mr. Prithvi Bhatt.
Hello, Kamaljeet ji.
Hi, sir.
So congratulations for a successful year. And I have a few questions actually.
Yeah.
So let's start with the actual number of harvesters that we did, that we sold this year in the last financial year.
Sir, I don't keep the exact number in my mind, but yeah, I think it was approximately around 20s, I guess. I'm not sure about the exact number because see, I don't really keep all the track in my mind or the exact numbers that we have.
Okay.
But yeah, it was approximately around 20s.
All right, all right. And as a percentage of revenue, would it be fair to say it'll be less than 15% as of now?
Less than 15%. Wait a minute. Let me just calculate this. Yeah, we can say that. We can
All right.
assume, yes.
All right. So since this year we'll be commercializing the new assembly line for the harvesters, and we have done a decent capex on that front,
Yes.
what kind of number of harvesters are we looking at?
So let's like to give you an exact answer for this, I will explain it a bit longer in a wider scenario. So basically, harvesting in agriculture in India happens in two times. One is a kharif crop and one is a rabi crop. So currently in kharif crop, the main crop that is being harvested is paddy, rice. So for paddy harvesting, we are already started stocking up, and for before the season starts, we are estimating to keep a stock of 35 harvesters with us. So that's before the starting of September, and we have a planning of around selling around 45 around harvesters in the kharif season. So before the season starts, we will keep a stock of 35 harvesters, and during the season when there is a too much load of other products as well, like threshers and dispatch and root reapers. So we are assuming that we will be only making 10 more harvesters and then selling those harvesters in the kharif season. And then the kharif season ends at around November and mid-December. So what we are planning next is during December only, when this kharif season ends, we will start manufacturing a wheel type harvester as well. So if you can see, like the currently the wheel type harvesters market is purely dominated by the Punjab manufacturers, but they are only making it on the bigger size. Like their harvesters are 14 feet cutter bar harvesters with an MRP of minimum of 32 lakhs, and it goes up to 40 lakhs. So what we are planning to launch is we are planning to launch a mini tire type harvester, which will cost approximately around 20 to 20, sorry, 24 to 25 lakhs of MRP for farmers with a 8.5 feet cutter bar. So we will be launching that, and then the Rabi season wheat harvesting starts in around March, April. So we will again keep a stock of 40, 50 harvesters before the Rabi crop harvesting starts, and then we will again try to sell around 40, 50 harvesters in that season. So yeah, so that's our basic plan for the coming year.
Right. So conservatively, we are looking comfortable to sell 60-70 harvester this year.
Yes, if we can develop the tire type harvester in time and the R&D is done smoothly, definitely we will touch that number. But yeah, if we talk about the track type harvester alone, we will definitely touch 40s. That's not an issue.
Okay,
Yeah.
got it. So the current assembly line we'll be having a capacity of around 300 harvesters per annum, right?
Yeah, with the new setup, yes, we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to understand what kind of difference in choices do they make, the farmers, when do the farmers go for the bigger type of harvesters, which we see in Madhya Pradesh and other states, and when do they go for smaller track type harvesters, and what is the reason behind this choice?
So the reason comes like it's basically two reasons. First of all is the tire type harvesters which you see in MP, UP, Punjab, Haryana. These harvesters are very big in size, so they are approximately around 14, 15 feet in width, and the weight is approximately around 9,000 to 10,000 kgs. Now, as in on a comparison basis, our harvester, the track type harvesters, they are around 7 to 7.5 feet in width and approximately around 3,500 kg in weight. So that's approximately 60-65% reduction in weight. Now, the benefit which these small harvesters provide to the farmers is that when we harvest paddy, the ground is too much wet. The ground is too much wet that these big harvesters can't even enter the field. And if they enter, their own weight is so much that they get stuck and they can't even harvest. So that's why in paddy harvesting, you will see that most of the manual labor is still working in primitive villages where machinery are not even reached yet. So reapers and all the smaller machineries are only focused on paddy widely because of the challenges. Because the harvest time is too short, and the ground is too wet. You can't take big machineries. You can't take tractors inside the field. That's where the track harvesters come to play. So first of all, because of the lightweight, they can easily maneuver across wet fields, muddy fields without any problem. They can easily harvest paddy. And the second is due to the smaller size. As we know, the land per day, like the average land size to each farmer is very small in our area. So maneuverability inside the field is a big challenge for big harvesters, because the bigger harvesters that you talk about, they operate like a car or a truck. Like they can't have a 0 degree turn. But the harvesters, the track harvesters that we make, they operate like a tank. So the maneuverability is kind of like a tank. So it can even have a 0 degree turn while it's standing, and it's too rough for fields. So that's why there's the second choice for farmers for choosing these. And third is the cost. So as I have told you that we sell it, the MRP of our harvester is 24 lakh 50 thousand, and big harvesters are no less than 32 lakhs in the market. And when you take like the on-road price, it's approximately around 35 lakhs. So there's a huge gap of 8-9 lakhs. Yeah, which matters.
Okay, got it. I have a couple of more questions, but I'll fall back in queue. Some people have raised their hands.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
What about input cost?
Hello.
Yeah, what about input cost?
Input cost.
Yeah, so mining and let's say whatever metal you get it from there, can you pass on cost to the end customer if let's say metal price increase? So
Yeah.
like how much exactly is the metal part in a harvester, and can you exactly pass on to end customer? Is it possible?
Now, if you say about the costing of the harvester, so harvester is purely made out of metal. It's steel. It's in a different ways. Like the, if we talk about the major components about the input cost, so the major component that we have first is the engine, which is the biggest cost. So we buy engines from Eicher. They are having their factory in Pithampur, MP, near Indore. So we buy it from them. So the metal price increases, the engine cost increase. Second is the gearboxes and the hydraulic system that we use. So that we are using Indian only. So we are manufacturing our gearbox by our own. We are manufacturing the gears through a Punjab supplier. They supply us with the gears. We are making the gearbox housing by our own, and we are buying hydraulic pumps and hydraulic motors from an Indian supplier. They're also a Punjab-based company. And so yeah, but like hydraulics don't have a bigger impact of the metal price increase, but yeah, but gears and gearboxes, they do have a good increase, like a good impact if the metal price rises. And then comes the structure. So that's sheet metal, angle channels and structures, what kind of structures do we have. So yeah, so this is the third biggest cost that we have. And yeah, if the metal price increased 10%, I can assumingly say that our harvester price will go up around 40-50 thousand.
Okay, so do you have that kind of because we have retail guys only, right? So if you higher price, does it get absorbed in market?
No, we don't only do retail. Retail is a very small part of our harvester business. We generally focus on distributor and dealership network only. So yeah, retail, we don't much focus on that. But whoever comes directly to the factory, we do retail from that. Otherwise, we do prefer dealer and distributor network. The costing is not the main issue with us for selling the farmers, because yeah, the farmers are liking the product because it's very rare in the market. No one else is providing an Indian-made product, and the service and the spare parts availability is also good. So that's why the price point is not much of a difficulty for us to sell.
How about competition? Companies from other states, China, or any other country products competing versus your products?
So the major competitor is China. So there are a lot of big companies which have entered this market. So if you talk about Mahindra, if you talk about Ace, like Action Machinery, if you talk about Class, Kubota, GAM, and all these big companies. But the thing is that all of the even these big multinational companies, they're also eventually buying from China. None of them is manufacturing here. So that's only the key difference that we have from them, because we are providing a different quality and we are providing a better product. The main competition is China only. No one else is manufacturing it here. Class once started, but Now they have stopped it. They are also importing from China only.
Next, we have Mr. Rushabh Dhruv.
Yeah, hi sir, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You just said that Mahindra is a competitor, right? But I somewhere read that we also have a tie-up with Mahindra. So can you elaborate on this?
Yeah, so, we supply threshers to Mahindra. So we have two different products. So one product we supply to Mahindra, and another product the Mahindra is our competitor. So basically Mahindra, their strategy is basically they buy the product from someone, they just label it and market it and sell it. Mahindra doesn't manufacture anything apart from tractors. So if they are Mahindra is selling threshers, they are buying it from us. They are buying from other vendors as well all across India. We are not the sole supplier. So similar to harvesters also. So they are buying harvesters from China and selling it here in India.
Okay, so is it like a white labeling for them? We are white labeling threshers for them, right?
Yes. Mahindra, there are different companies. Like Mahindra is there, Swaraj is there, Nifa, a company from West Bengal, last year only joined with us. So we are doing white labeling for these big companies.
Okay, and is there any talk about harvester also?
With Mahindra and with Swaraj, we haven't initiated the talks yet. But with Nifa, we are willing to do. Let's see what happens. It's nothing sure yet.
Yeah. Okay, and the final question is, are we manufacturing engine as well, or we are outsourcing it from someone?
No, we are outsourcing it from Eicher.
From Eicher. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Volvo Eicher. Yeah.
Next in line, we have Mr. Jigar Shah. Yes, Mr. Shah, if you can hear us. Hello, Mr. Jigar Shah. You're on mute if you are speaking.
Anyway, why don't you move on to the next participant?
Yes, next Mr. Jaydeep Ray. Hello, Mr. Jaydeep Ray. No, Mr. Prithvi Bhatt.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So, I was also meaning to understand a bit about our dealership networks.
Yeah.
How do we work? How do we onboard them? And do they have any other similar products along in their product portfolio with which they work for?
Okay. So, for giving dealerships to anyone, we have basically 3 to 4 rules. So the first is that we make only one dealer in one district. We don't provide multiple dealerships in a single district. So that's the first rule that we have. If we have an existing dealer and we are happy with the sales, we won't onboard another dealer from that same district. Yeah, but if the sales are dropping and if we find someone else is promising better, then we definitely shift. And which is very rare. We don't generally shift from dealers to dealers very soon. Second is that we ask for an investment, initial investment, and we don't ask it in a form of security deposit. We ask the first minimum order. If we are talking about a dealership for threshers, we ask a minimum of 5 threshers for the first order. And if we are talking about harvesters, we ask for a minimum of 2 harvesters for the first order. And the third thing that we ask for a dealership is that they should have a service team of minimum 2 employees. Yeah, the training we provide, but yeah, they maintain a service team for their customers. And the last is that we want exclusivity for the products that we are dealing with. They can have other products, but if they are a dealer of track harvesters for us, then they will not sell any other person's track harvester. And similar for threshers. Like if they are having our threshers, the thresher, they will not have any other brand thresher in their market, in their shop. The rest of products, they can deal whatever they want. Now that's the basic criteria.
Right. Okay. Got it. Now regarding the CapEx, as on the March ending balance sheet, or rather the data you provided, we only have about 2 crores towards the capex of the new shed. Right. After that, the rest of the allocation for our CNC machines, fiber laser cutting machines, all of that has been completed or it's pending?
For currently in the March books, we have shown that yes, the shed is already under process. The shed is completed actually, but the flooring is left. So yeah, it has happened after March, so that's why it is not in the March balance sheet. So the shed work is almost completed. The flooring is under process, and for the machinery part, the one laser machine, I think it will be delivered by the first and second week of next month, so basically before 15th of July. And the CNC machine that we have ordered will also be delivered in the last week of July. And yeah, so before September we will complete the CapEx.
Okay, got it. And on the balance sheet also, as on 31st March, there are advances of around 7 crore, current advances, short-term advances and loans. Can you just give us a breakdown on what that is?
I'm not sure what all is in that in a very precise way, but okay. I will definitely need to check what all parties are there. But yeah, it wouldn't be an issue if you want explanation on that.
You can just send it to us.
I don't remember these things in a very precise way. You can also understand that.
No problem. Yeah. Just wanted to know about the CHCs, right? So they are renting out the government, this is an initiative by the government who they are renting out tractors and harvesters. So is it working on ground? Is it effective? Because I've talked to many farmers in Maharashtra. It is effective over there, but in Madhya Pradesh, it's sort of not that. The penetration is not that great. So I just wanted to know how does it work.
You're talking about CVCs?
CHCs, custom hiring centers. The government.
Oh, CHCs, custom hiring centers.
Yeah, yeah.
To be very honest, I have never encountered a custom hiring center in Chhattisgarh till the time I'm working here.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all in the books, but yeah, in some areas it is good and it does happen. So in Odisha, I have seen some, but yeah, it's not very widespread idea.
Okay.
Because custom hiring centers doesn't make any sense practically, because nowadays finance is available and farmers do need to only provide the installments on EMI basis. So instead of a custom hiring center, they prefer to buy their own.
Right. Okay, got it. Now, and what are we looking at regarding exports? How are we tapping that market, and what kind of potential do we see over there, especially in Africa and in those kinds of geographies?
Yeah, so in the export market, we used to have a really good market in Sudan, for our groundnut machineries. So that was the biggest export market that we had. We used to sell around 4-5 crores of. As we all know, that 3 years ago there was a war. The civil war started in Sudan, and after that, the market has completely shut down. Our export business in Sudan hasn't happened in a couple of years. And other countries, there are some other countries like Ghana, Nigeria, and Mali, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bhutan. We do have some export markets, but that is not big. But yeah, we will focus on the export market, but we are not targeting Africa first. We will be targeting Europe first. because we have seen, like, I was there when I studied agriculture engineering, so I have seen the products that they use, and I am seeing a very, like, a huge price gap over the quality that they are having in Europe. So yeah, we are targeting Europe, so hopefully by next March we will be starting an office in Europe as well. Specifically, we are targeting Ireland first.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. All right. Okay. All the best, Kamaljeet ji.
Thanks. All the best.
Next, we have Mr. Udit Sehgal.
So, I can see our sales have been stagnant for the last 5 years. But now, what exactly are the changes happening, and like, how do we see the sales going forward?
The reason for sales being stagnant is the pattern changes, like the farming pattern changing very rapidly, because see, the main product that we sell, that the 90% of the, if we talk about like earlier years, majorly our sales are coming from threshers. So nowadays, like after COVID, what has happened is due to the less availability of labor and people don't want to work like that hard nowadays in the field, and mechanization increases. So the sale of threshers has been stagnant. It's not increasing. It's on the same level. So as you can also see from our numbers, it's not shooting up too high. It's on a same level from last 3-4 years. And for upcoming years, that's why we have changed our, we have upgraded our machinery, and we are upgrading our factory, because these harvesters are the future now. So if we talk about the current imports that are happening for these harvesters, approximately, I'm not very sure about the figures, but approximately around 9,000, 10,000 harvesters are annually imported in India through China. So that's the market that we want to cater, and that's where we are seeing our growth. Thresholds, we will definitely have growth, but that won't be much high. That will be around 5-10% annually. We are growing on annual basis. But yeah, in harvesters, we can grow exponentially.
So harvesters, what is our sales target for, say, this year or the next year, like sequentially for the next 3 years, what would be our target?
See, as I have told you, like I've already explained, like in the Kharif season, we are planning around 40 harvesters in sales. And in the Rabi season, if we are able to manufacture the, like the R&D is all done and our product is launched, we will then again see around 30-40 harvesters in the Rabi season as well. Yeah, but if we can't, like, if that doesn't happen, even though we are targeting around 50 harvesters this year. And if we talk about in a long-term plan, we are targeting around 500 threshers per annum sale in 3 years from today.
500 threshers or harvesters?
Harvesters, sorry. 500 harvesters
per annum. What is the average selling price for one harvester?
Currently, our dealer price is 22 lakhs. And our MRP is 24,50,000. So yeah, if we consider the dealer price as well, and if we are going in bulk, let's say we do have to reduce the price. So 20 lakh will be the minimum. So if we calculate, it's around 100 crores of purely harvester sales.
On the full capacity utilization?
No, that's not the full capacity. We will definitely have more capacity for harvesters.
Okay. No, so for this year, so it will be 50 numbers, so 10 crores, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're saying in the medium term, you would want to take it up to 500. And
yes,
this you'll be doing from your own brand, or it'll be white labeling for somebody?
I'm not sure about it. Well, as I've already told you, we have contacted NIFA. We are in talks with NIFA Export Private Limited for taking our harvesters, but we have not finalized yet. So our plan is to do it under our label only. But yeah, if we get a bulk order for our white labeling also, then yes, we can approach. That's not a problem.
Sir, like, we track other farm equipment manufacturers as well. I mean, one common thread we found is that financing is a major part of the sale. Like, you know, that's why you find all the big conglomerates doing so well, because they have their finance arms.
Yes.
So this, I mean, the farmer doesn't have the capability to pay 20, 25 lakhs, whatever, in cash.
Yes.
So, I mean, how do we intend to go about that? Like, who will be doing the financing for the end customer, the distributor, or I mean, if you do the white labeling, I mean, that would be better way to go.
No, so the financing, like currently we are not white labeling for anyone. So I can tell, like currently all the finances we handle. So what we do is we have tie-ups with all the government banks. So we have SBI, we have Bank of Baroda, we have Punjab National Bank, Central Bank of India, Grameen Bank, Jilla Sahkari Bank, and Union Bank. So all these banks we have tie-ups with. So they finance our harvesters for farmers, and they take around 2 lakhs or 3 lakhs down payment from farmers, and rest of all of the money is financed. And apart from banks, we do have some NBFCs as well. We don't prefer NBFCs because of the higher interest rates. We do prefer banks. But yeah, we have our tie-up with Shriram Finance as well. So if the banks are saying no to a farmer, Shriram Finance does it because of the linear rules that they have. So that's how we
pressures are we selling right now? And like what percentage would be financed?
For harvesters.
No, harvesters, so we have just started, right? Our regular product is a thresher, right, sir?
Yeah.
So we are doing around 40 odd crore sales. So, I mean, how many threshers are we selling in a year? And how many of them are financed?
Threshers, like farmer don't require financing in threshers. So threshers, it's like 2.5 lakhs maximum MRP. Okay. So they don't need, if you talk about sales in a percentage, that not even like less than 5% are financed.
Okay.
Less than 5%. But yeah, if you talk about harvesters, even whatever we are selling now, it's small number, but 100% are financed.
Perfect. That's a little bit of a model change, I guess, right?
So yeah, that's too big of a model change.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
We are taking time because we are like initiating every product to be manufactured here in India by ourselves. There's nothing that we can get ready made in market. That's why it's a bit of a time-taking process for us as well.
Yeah. Right, sir. Thank you and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
So we have Mr. Jigar Shah and Mr. Jaydeep Ray. If you want to ask questions.
Hello.
Yes, let's go ahead, Mr. Ray.
My question is, what is the EBITDA margin of Thresher and TCS? Can you tell me?
Sorry, I am not able to listen. Can you please tell, repeat again?
What is the EBITDA margin of TCS and Thresher? Can you elaborate?
So, EBITDA margin. So, you don't EBITDA is before tax. No. So, on an approximate basis on Threshers, we earn around, let's say, just a minute, we around 20%, let's say we have our EBITDA from threshers. And if we talk about harvesters, we have better margins in that. So it's approximately, you can say around 40%.
And are we facing any demand slowdown due to the El Nino effect?
Yes, we are discussing about the impact on monsoon because of the El Nino. That's a really good observation that you made. So yeah, all the kharif crop, the paddy across all central India, it's hugely dependent on monsoon. Government is trying to cater this through the irrigation channels, but we all know that if the monsoon is too bad in this region, the government won't be able to handle it. But yeah, let's hope for the good.
And you are telling that your CapEx will complete in September.
Yeah, yes? Before September. I'm just saying that before September, when we like post the results in September, you will see that all the CapEx is done.
And you told that you will sell around 40 harvesters in the recent coming harvesting season. Yeah? But your total capacity is only 25. Then how will you manage to sell 40?
No, we are already like doing the capex, whatever machinery we have. Now we have the fund to keep a stock. So that's why we are pushing full of our capacity. So we will keep around 35 harvesters of stock before the harvesting season starts. And our sales target is around 45 if we can make another 10 in 1 month, so of the peak harvesting month. So yeah, let's hope for the best. And yeah, if we can, like the response that we are getting for the harvesters, I think it's achievable for us. Selling 35, 40 harvesters won't be a big deal. Yeah, we will be able to achieve it really nicely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
That's all I said.
We have next in line, Mr. Wayne Fernandez.
Yes, good evening. Thank you, Mr. Singh, for a very insightful conversation. I just wanted some more. You said you will be producing around 40 harvesters. So how do you plan your production? I think a lot of money will get tied up in working capital. So do you get some prior commitments from the dealers?
We don't like prior commitments. We can assume that yes, we do get prior commitments, and we do have our sales team network, so they give us an idea, whatever picture they are getting from the market. But if you talk about a confirmation with an advance payment, that won't be, we won't get. And yeah, we do our market research about how many harvesters we can sell through each dealer, and we ask like how much you can sell comfortably. So that's how we have planned it out. So yeah, we are coming across around 35, 40 numbers. Yeah, we can sell that nicely. And for the planning of our manufacturing, so currently we are fully focused on harvester manufacturing. So we have not, like, we have started threshers manufacturing for the upcoming season, but in very small numbers, because we can increase the thresher manufacturing, like per day we can manufacture 30, 35 threshers if the season demands it. But yeah, so before the season, we are fully focusing on a harvester so that we have enough harvesters in stock before the season arrives, so that we are not short of our stock and we lose out on sales. For threshers, if there is a demand, is a huge spike in the demand spike, we can increase our capacity, like, yeah, to meet that. So that's how planning we are for the current season.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Singh, and wish you all the best.
Yeah, welcome.
That's it from the Q&A section. And Mr. Kamaljit Singh, if you have any closing remarks, and just address the presentation.
Yeah, it was really nice for me to answering all those questions, and the way you asked questions, it was really insightful for me as well. And yeah, we are hoping for the best, and hopefully we will achieve all our goals that we have decided. And thanks a lot, everyone. And that's it from my side.
Thank you. On behalf of Pura Agriculture India Limited and Samvad Partners, I would like to sincerely thank all the investors and participants for joining us today. We hope the discussion has provided you with a better understanding of the company's performance, strategic priorities, and growth outlook. Should you have any other further questions or require any additional information, please feel free to reach out to us. We'll be happy to assist you. Wishing you a pleasant day ahead. Thank you and goodbye.